Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love. Yesterday we had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun. I want to point out a few people. Pete putting a lot of the mechanisms in place to make it happen. Alex with the idea of having a movie night and putting a lot of the mechanisms in place. Chris and Renee with coming up with a service project. We actually created baskets for those that are shut in, and we delivered those. Most were delivered. I have not delivered mine yet, but I will today. But we had a fun time, and as you can see, Doug is now teaching people how to juggle. So if you're curious, go see him. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Oh, sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, all glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory give. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Please be seated. We are a moment, you are forever, Lord of the ages, God before time. We are a vapor, you are eternal, love everlasting, reigning on high. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor, and glory be unto your name. Be unto your name. We are the broken. You are the healer. Jesus, Redeemer, mighty to save. You are the love song we'll sing forever, bowing before you, blessing your name. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor, and glory be unto your name. Be unto your name. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor, and glory be unto your name. Be unto your name. Be unto your name. Song before the communion. We gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through the loving Son, the Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. No one is a stranger here. Everyone belongs. Finding our forgiveness here, we in turn forgive all wrongs. He joins us here. He breaks the bread. The Lord who pours the cup is risen from the dead. The one we love the most is now our gracious host. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. We are now a family of which the Lord is head. Though unseen, he meets us here in the breaking of the bread. We'll gather soon where angels sing. We'll see the glory of our Lord and coming King. Now we anticipate the feast for which we wait. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. And now for a sermon, a communion thoughts by Stephen.
Good morning, church. It's good to be back with you. Appreciate this opportunity to speak for a moment. Even though this is odd for me, I can't tell you last time I gave a communion talk, so you'll have to bear with me. I want to look at what Luke says about, or how Luke records the institution of the Lord's Supper here in Luke chapter 22, if you want to turn there with me. Luke chapter 22, we read this. It says, "And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of God goes that has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to question one another which of them it would be who was going to do this. We have this this feast here. And I want to take note in particular something that Luke points out that Matthew and Mark don't necessarily point to. And that's just this simple fact. It says, and when the hour came, he reclined at table with his apostles. Yeah, we have here not just a memorial meal, but we have a feast. A feast in which our Savior invites us to come and share with him. In John chapter 4, we have this statement that we're often well aware of. Jesus is meeting with this woman at the well, and they're having a little bit of back and forth. And coming down to verse 16, it says, Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. And the woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. And the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. And so she begins to kind of change the discussion with him, getting it off of herself there. She says, I perceive that you are a prophet. She said, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. When Jesus makes this statement about worshiping in spirit and in truth, he is pitting that against what she's talking about, whether it be on this mountain or in Jerusalem or so on and such. And he's saying, no, there's a new location. He uses that word, it's in spirit and it's in truth. And he says, when we worship, it's no longer about whether we worship here or worship there or worship here, it's we worship in spirit and we worship in truth. And we come to God in spirit and in truth. And we talked earlier in class about God's timing and stuff like that and where God places us and stuff. And it seems that when we come to moments like this and we gather together as the family of God and around the world people gather together in the family of God, we're raised above this moment in time and this moment in Charleston. We're raised to the throne room of God, where together we gather with all of God's people in spirit and in truth. And not only do we gather with all of God's people in spirit, but we also gather with the one who instituted this supper. And he joins us here. I appreciate Carson leading that song. I'd actually already planned to talk about it. I want you to hear these words again. There's great theological meaning in this song. It says, we gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through the loving Son, the Father makes us one. So come take the bread, come drink the cup, come share the Lord. No one is a stranger here. Everyone belongs. And finding our forgiveness here, we in turn forgive all wrongs. And then listen to this. He joins us here, and he breaks the bread. And the Lord who pours the cup is risen from the dead, and the one we love the most is now our gracious host. And so come take the bread and drink the cup and share the Lord. And he says, we'll gather soon where angels sing. We'll see the glory of our Lord and coming King. And now we anticipate the feast for which we wait. So come take the bread, come drink the cup, and come share the Lord, because we are now a family of which the Lord is head. And though unseen, I love this part, though unseen, he meets us here in the breaking of the bread. And so as we gather together to worship in spirit and in truth, that is not just talking about how we do things, but where we do things, and we gather together in the spirit of God, in the presence of God. And the one who created this feast, the one who hosts the feast for which we anticipate, joins us here in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup. So let's pray together. Holy Father, we bow humbly before you. We thank you for this feast that is possible because you gave your Son, this feast that is possible because your Son hosts us here, and this feast that is possible because we join you in the Spirit. Father, we praise you as the triune God. We thank you for this bread, which is your Son's body. It was put on that cross for us. We pray that as we participate in this meal together, that you will bless us and encourage us with your presence and help us to remember that great sacrifice made for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, he did so with wine. Wine throughout the Bible, throughout the Old Testament especially, was a symbol of joy and a symbol of fulfillment and a symbol of jubilee and celebration. And so as we drink this cup together, we celebrate. We celebrate the love that we have, that we share. We celebrate, once again, this feast that we share with our Savior. And we think about him as our host in this moment. Let's pray together. Once again, Father, we bow in your presence. We're grateful for the wine. We're grateful for your Son's blood that allows for us to be whole, that brings fulfillment to our lives, that gives us reason to celebrate. Father, we look forward to the day in which we will share in that feast with you, in that heavenly banquet in your throne room. Father, that is the feast that we anticipate, and yet we also in this moment get to share in. We thank you for lifting us above these moments, putting us with all of God's holy people, expanding us beyond time and moment to share in this meal with all of your people, both past and present, to be in this feast as one with your Son. And to be able to do so through the power of your Spirit. We love you so much, Father, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this moment, also as a matter of just simple convenience, we do have a time to give, a time to take what God has blessed us with and hand it back over to him, which seems, when you really think about it, somewhat almost silly that we would have to give what we have back to God when we know as God's people that what we have is God's. And so in this moment, as we think about giving, let us also just think about it as a time of thanksgiving, that God would allow for us to hold on to these things for but a moment and then to use them to praise him and to glorify him. So we'll ask a prayer for the offering, and there's various ways for you to give online or in the back, and if you'd like to do that, you can do that now or as we dismiss, but let's pray. Father, we are grateful for all that we have, and we know that all that we have because of you, and all that we have really is yours. And so, Father, we just thank you that you give us a moment to spend with it and use it for your glory and for your honor. Father, we thank you for the way that you bless us and take care of us. And we pray that as we use our physical blessings that you have given to us, that we can do so in a way that brings honor to you and spreads your love throughout your world. We love you so much, Father, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, kids, it's time for you to be dismissed. Ages 2 years all the way up to 5th grade? That sounds right. Let's sing them out. Jesus loves 6th grade. Brenda corrected me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Let's stand and sing for the swan song before Chuck comes up and blesses us. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above, and just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Have a little talk with Jesus, tell him all about our troubles, hear our faintest cry, answer by and by. Feel a little prayerful yearning, heart on heaven is turning. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Sometimes my path seems drear without a ray of cheer, and then a cloud of doubt may hide the light of day. The mists of sin may rise and hide the starry skies, but just a little talk with Jesus clears the way. Have a little talk with Jesus, tell him all about our troubles, hear our faintest cry, answer by and by. Feel a little prayerful yearning, heart on heaven is turning. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer, he knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Have a little talk with Jesus, tell him all about our troubles, hear our faintest cry, answer by and by. Feel a little prayerful yearning, heart on heaven is turning. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. Good to see you all here today. We have a number of visitors in our audience, some from pretty far away, some from Kentucky, and some from Alabama. It's good to see all of you here today. When Chris asked me to deliver the sermon today, I had in mind a sermon I had been working on for some time about Peter's first sermon, the sermon on Pentecost, and I was going to try to reenact or redevelop that sermon and preach it like Peter might have in some way. When I told Shirley what I was going to do, she says, "No, I want a Christmas devotional." So we're going to have a Christmas devotional today. And we'll save Peter's sermon for later. What are we going to do? I'm going to read, and you'll get tired of my voice, I'm sure, before this is over, the passages about the birth of Jesus from Matthew and Luke. And interspersed in between the readings, Carson will lead us in appropriate Christmas songs. So we did not put all the words to all the scriptures on the chart, but we put the passage. If you want to open your Bible and follow along, that's fine. I'll be reading from the New International Version. the NIV. In the book of Matthew, Matthew tells us about the birth of Jesus Christ foretold. And in, actually Luke, it's in Luke that tells us of the foretelling of Jesus' birth. So in Luke 1, verses 26 through 38, now the situation is that Mary's cousin Elizabeth had become pregnant 6 months before Mary with John the Baptist. And so this is the beginning of the prediction of Jesus' birth. Luke 1:26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Mary was overcome by this, and she responded to God in verses 39 through 55, what we call Mary's song. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary responded, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. And Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Let's sing, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. Carson? Oh, no, I'm sorry.
You're up.
I'm up. Sing Emmanuel. Yeah, back one. All right, there we are. In Matthew records the birth of Jesus in Matthew 1:18 through 24. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus Christ. In Luke 1 through 7, we have a similar account. Luke chapter 2, 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
It came upon the midnight clear, that glory song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Still through the cloven skies they come with peaceful wings unfurled. And still there's heavenly music floats o'er all the weary world. Above its sad and lowly plains, they bend on hovering wing. And ever, oh, its babble sounds, the blessed angels sing. For lo, the days are hastening on, by prophets seen of old, when with the ever-circling years shall come the time foretold, when the whole earth and earth shall own the Prince of Peace, their King. And the whole world send back the song which now the angels sing.
In Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, Luke records the angels announcing the birth of Jesus. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men whom he favor rest."
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo, gloria in excelsis Deo. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? What the gladsome tidings be which inspire your heavenly song? Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Come to Bethlehem and see him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
We conclude the account of Jesus' birth with the story of the shepherd's visit. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever, and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and take us to glory to live with thee there.
We celebrate Christmas as the birth of Jesus Christ. Although he was probably born in the spring, yet we pick one day, and that day is Christmas, that we reflect upon his birth and what it means to mankind. His coming into the earth was planned by God from the beginning. It was planned that he would come here, be born as a human being, as an infant to the Mother Mary, and that he would grow up, and that he would teach disciples what God wanted them to know about how to live on this earth. And then he would give himself as the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. That's a story for another day,
But that's the significance of the birth of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. If you're inspired in any way by the reading and the singing of these songs, and you have a need to respond, our elders are available to assist you with prayer or in baptism. And I wish you all a very happy and merry Christmas. And if you would stand while we sing this closing song and respond if you need to.
To us a child of hope is born, to us a son is given. Him shall the tribes of earth obey, him all the host of heaven.
Real quick announcement. If those of you that are helping with the search committee can just gather up here for just a quick update, literally 5 minutes, that'd be great right after service. And for everyone, we are progressing well lately on our search, and so hopefully we'll have some announcements to share with the congregation soon. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we're so thankful for this day. We are thankful for this time of year when even folks who may not believe or actively seek you recognize and honor Jesus' birth. And Father, we just hope that every day we can proclaim our faith that there is joy in the world because the Lord has come. Help us to remember that each day. Help us to focus on that. Help us to live a life that celebrates Jesus and brings others to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.